Good afternoon on this Friday, November the 22nd. I am Bernie Miklas. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show on my YouTube channel. Closing in on 7,000 subscribers. I can't thank you enough for the support. I hope you leave comments, hit the like button, do all those nice things, and we'll continue to provide Cardinals commentary for you all off season with occasional other stuff mixed in. Today, I want to talk about Ollie Marmol. Baseball analyst Keith Law stirred it up last week when it was revealed that Keith Law of The Athletic gave a third place manager of the year vote to Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. I'm thinking that didn't help Keith Law's popularity among Cardinals fans, but that's just me. Law had his reasons, but honestly, I don't really want to get into all that now because it wouldn't matter anyway. You know, people either like Marmol or they don't, and it's just the way it is. But if you think Law was wrong, then you think he's wrong, and blast away, man. It's your opinion. I don't particularly care. I'm not going to push back because I don't see any point in it. Again, because I think people have made up their minds about Marmol, good or bad. It's just the way it is. That's reality right now. As you know, I do think that he did a better job than he got credit for in 2024, but I wouldn't have voted even third place manager of the year for him. So whatever, like I said, whatever. But since Marmol was back in the news, probably for a reason he did not expect, it's a good time to look at a question I think is very much pertinent. Why would Marmol be able to last and stay in place after the 2025 season, which means he would then fulfill the final year of his contract, 2026? Can Ollie Marmol survive and make it to 2026? And then you go from there. I gave a lot of thought on this because I think it's an interesting question because I don't assume he's going to be replaced. There's no reason to assume that because a new baseball boss has taken over, Chaim Bloom, after the 2025 season. So it's kind of an interesting time inside the Cardinals baseball family. We're going to see how much independence Bloom will stake out in terms of making the decisions and whether he'll want to go in another direction. Certainly wanted to do that in the farm system, player development, the infrastructure, the minor leagues, all that stuff. But we'll find out more about Chaim Bloom basically after this season when he then begins to call all of the shots from a baseball standpoint. So I have some thoughts. In other words, what does Ollie Marmol have to do to get past 2025 and into that final year? So I made some notes. So I'm going to be looking down so I'm not rambling all over the creation. You know, number one reason that he has to, one thing he has to do to save his job, right? The first reason, the Cardinals would have a surprise season. They'd win 85 plus games. They would unexpectedly contend for a playoff spot. All right. Well, how many wins would it take to grab a wild card ticket? And again, preemptively, let me say the goal is to win the World Series and the goal is to make win pennants and the goal is to win division. I know that. I know it. I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. But the Cardinals are not set up to do that in 2025, so I deal with that accordingly. But if they were to have a surprise season, how many wins would it take to get them into a wild card spot? I'm just talking hypotheticals because number one is like them having a surprise season. That would help Ollie Marmol stay in the job. I can't predict how many right now because teams don't have their roster set for 2025. And a lot can change between now and opening day. But I'll just tell you this. It's nothing scientific here. If we just use 2025 as a reference, I looked at the six wildcard teams from 2024. The Orioles and the Padres averaged 92 wins, but the other four wildcards, the Braves, Mets, Royals, and Tigers, averaged 87.5 wins. And Kansas City and Detroit got into the tournament with 86 wins. Heck, the Cardinals in 2024 won 83. So it's like this is a big, huge leap to actually get a wild card spot. Although, again, their team is supposedly going to start playing younger players and giving them a full opportunity and yada, yada, yada. So the Cardinals aren't building their roster to win now. They're taking more of an approach like, let's establish the future by looking at younger guys. Nationally and locally, the Cardinals aren't viewed as a postseason contender, not now, certainly. And a lot of people would pick them to finish with a losing record in 2025. So if Ollie Marmol can exceed expectations, he can get the club to defy the predictions and be a surprising factor, that obviously would at least work in his favor. Doesn't mean he'll be back, but it would work in his favor if there's a decision to make. And this applies to people that are at least capable of being objective, and not everybody is, and I get that. And I am well aware of the fact that Ollie Marmol's approval rating with the fan base is low. Is that a good way to put it? Low, rock bottom low? I don't know. They ain't very good. I get the feeling sometime, you know, he could win 100 games and people would say, oh, well, he was terrible. They should have won 104, you know, whatever. Worst manager to ever put on a uniform. Okay, I got you. So I know I ain't trying to talk you into anything. I'm just explaining what, pragmatically speaking, how does he keep his job? What would it take? Number one, I just explained, have a surprisingly good season. Number two, comeback seasons from Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker. I discussed this in Thursday's video, but there's, you know, if we go back at a review really quickly, really huge difference in their offense performances from those two guys from 23 to 24. Marmol and the Cardinals need Walker and Gorman to do 2023 all over again, only better. If we can hold the manager at least partially accountable, as some do, for the fact that Gorman and Walker collapsed last season, then he could earn, in theory, he could earn some respect by making the coaching staff changes that, in theory, I'm going to use that term a lot in this one, in theory, coaching staff changes that would help the young hitters kind of find their way back in 2025, the hitting coach Brant Brown. But not only that, John Jay, the first base coach, and who's going to be doing a lot of things. And I think he'll be an influential voice in this setup. So strong bounce back seasons from Gorman and Walker would make the Cardinals offense much better, which would help the manager of the Cardinals keep his job. You have 2 years in a row where your offense is putrid. Not a good thing for the manager under any circumstances. All right. Reason number three, why, what he has to do to keep his job. The case for Marmol would be strengthened by the 2025 Cardinals playing a more aggressive style of ball, more entertaining style of ball, more intelligent brand of ball, running the bases, stealing bases, taking advantage of opportunities, hitting all fields, having a much smarter two-strike approach, not looking at so many damn called strikes, playing the game with a lot more energy and joy. And I think that a personality change, because they need to change their collective team personality, I think it's more possible and more likely with a much younger team, especially if the front office can move Nolan Arenado along and trade him to another team. So the way the team looks on the field is something that will be factored in. If they show that they're getting smarter and they're doing a better job of taking advantage of the base stealing rules and things like that, the way you look when you play the game can shape a lot of opinions about whether the manager's getting through and whether these guys are doing everything they can in effect to protect their manager or to play for their manager. All right, so that's the third reason. The fourth reason, it would be one thing he's got to do. It relates to clubhouse culture. It's a cliche. It's overused. I'm guilty of that myself. No one ever really defines it. I guess it's one of those things you just know by seeing it. By the way a team plays the game consistently, the way they handle adversity and they battle through. Teams that have a lot of fun competing, and you see the players being comfortable just being themselves, and by the way they express themselves and the way they don't hold back, they just let it go, and how they interact with each other, whether there's camaraderie, whether there's, you know, the type of thing where, you know, we're all in this together, they have each other's backs. And I think those kind of things, again, are very visible if you just watch the Cardinals, if nothing else, just watch them on TV. You know, it's easy to spot a team that loves to play baseball, a team that is loaded with players who like each other, like being teammates, or supportive of each other, push and encourage each other. And at times, maybe behind the scenes, intervene and go to a teammate and say, hey, dude, man, you can do better. Let's talk about this. We need you to do better. The Cardinals didn't have that in 2024 and really haven't had it since 2022. Molina, Pujols, final year before they retired, and Adam Wainwright had the credibility that comes with having a really good season as a pitcher in 2022. The Cardinals need to be something different. If you're going to go younger, right, if you are going to go younger, and how much younger remains to be seen, because I think a lot of this has turned into a marketing campaign that they may not be able to live up to. Because how many jobs are really available? If they don't trade Arenado, third base is off the table. Then you're going to have a bunch of second basemen. The shortstop position spoken for. Contreras is the first baseman. You got Herrera and Pajes behind the plate. The outfield, Newt Barr is going to start. Burleson will play out there some. He'll play first base some. He'll DH some. Right field, they're committed to Walker. Center field, I think Ciani's the manager's choice, but I would assume at some point Victor Scott will play, right? So how many jobs in the lineup, when the position player ranks, how many jobs are really open? So they talk about, oh, we're going to play the kids. What? Play them where? Other than the guys that are already assured of playing time, younger players, right? Same with the pitching staff. You know, when you have, if they have, Gray, Fetty, Michaelis, maybe Matz, and Pallante. If you have Michaelis and Matz and you're committed to it, well, how many young starting pitchers are going to be in a rotation? You don't really have any slots. Because I assume Pallante is going to have one of them, right? So what are we talking about here? We're going to play we're going to give these young pitchers a chance. We're going to play these young position players. How many slots are we talking about? How many expanded opportunities are really available? See, I think the media in our town's kind of asleep on this, and I keep hollering about it. You know, it's easy to say, we're going to play the kids. We're going to have this young, hungry team. We're going to play the kids. We're going to give them an opportunity. You are? Oh, Michaelis is going to be in the rotation, and you're going to put Matz in the rotation. Oh, are you? Okay. And you got pretty much the same lineup you had last year, except you moved a couple people around. The Contreras thing being the same one. So if you don't trade Arenado, what the hell's going to be different? Anyway, did I get off track maybe a little? That's me. But the whole clubhouse culture thing, even though it's a cliche, you know, it does matter. And I think it does also give the fans a feeling of whether there is camaraderie, there is a positive culture. You see teammates really enjoying playing together and doing everything together and encouraging each other and having fun, the joy of baseball, all that stuff. A team can give a vibe that is picked up by the fans. Sometimes it's a really good vibe. Like you watch the Kansas City Royals in 2024. Everything about it during a regular season. Good vibrations all over the place. You look at the 2024 Cardinals, not so much. Not so much at all. So it does matter. This personality has to change with the team, which would change the culture. There has to be new leadership that takes charge. And then you reshape the personality, and then the personality flows, and it can actually help you. And we haven't seen a joyful team since 2022, and I already mentioned that. All right, that's four reasons, and I got five, but then I got the other side, which we'll get to. How's another way that Ali Marmol can keep his job beyond 2025? Well, Chaim Bloom. He takes over as the president of baseball operations after the 2025 season, and that's when he'll begin to make major decisions. I would imagine his first decision is going to be centered around Ali Marmol and the coaching staff, but especially Ali Marmol. you know, Bloom has been around for a while. And I have to think a while with the Cardinals, you know, and I have to think that he's formed at least some tentative impressions and judgments of Ollie Marmol's work, his job performance, the way he handles certain things. Bloom isn't going to share that, any of that publicly, because he hasn't shared anything publicly because he doesn't have to yet. But that ends as soon as next season is over. And I don't know how much Chaim Bloom would have to say even privately about Ollie Marmol, good or bad. I don't know if John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt have asked him, well, what do you think of Marmol? And whether he deferred, said, well, I really want to see how this goes in 2025. I'm keeping an open mind. Maybe he likes some things. Maybe he doesn't like some things. Maybe he can get on the same page with Marmol and some of the stuff that he, meaning Bloom, doesn't particularly like. Bloom will determine if it makes sense to stay the course or head in another direction after 2025. It's primarily a baseball decision, of course, but let's not be naive here. Let's not be silly children. If attendance continues to drop and the revenue continues to plummet and Marmol continues to be an unpopular manager who is polarizing, I have to believe the business side of the baseball would have to become part of the evaluation. There are two other factors in number five here, which is the Chaim Bloom. What does he think? And can Ollie Marmol impress Chaim Bloom enough to keep the job? Do Bloom and Marmol share a similar philosophy or a like-minded philosophy? I don't know. Ollie Marmol is analytically inclined, but as I've told you, and feel free to ignore me again, because some people just won't believe this, but it's true. Ollie Marmol likes analytics. He's not as analytically obsessed or analytically minded as people assume. I think Chaim Bloom will be, because that's his background. And will Marmol embrace a more analytical approach to running the team? And oh, by the way, this is what everybody does. When you have an old school guy like Bruce Bochy, when he was willing to adapt and incorporate analytics and win a World Series. Terry Francona made that conversion a long time ago. There's way too many people that think this is like aliens have just landed on the planet and this whole analytics thing is branded. Aliens and UFOs are taking over Major League Baseball. No, it's actually, as I say many, many, many times, it's been going on a long, long time. People didn't call it analytics. Not too hard to understand, but I give up on that one. Do Bloom and Marmol share a similar philosophy? Does Marmol embrace more analytical approach to the game that I think maybe Bloom would like to incorporate more? That's A. B would be, does Bloom have someone else in mind to take over? I mean, I don't think Chaim Bloom would enter the Cardinals family, baseball family, and just not think about the future and not think about, okay, even if he's just at home with his family, think about, talk about, well, here's what I would do, and I'll have a chance to do it, no matter what it might be. Here's what I would do. They asked me about the minor leagues and the farm system and the player development and the infrastructure and the collapse of what used to be the Cardinal Way down at the minor league level. And I gave them a comprehensive report and then some on what they needed to fix. But he's probably not doing that yet with anything else, but he will be soon. And so even when he goes home at night, does he talk about how, well, you know, hey, to his lovely wife, well, here's who I have in mind if Marmol doesn't work out. Here's who I have in mind. So I don't know if he discusses that even privately. Does he think it's proper, improper? Is he just going to wait and see? We don't know. But it's fun to think about, right? Will Bloom believe that a fresh start is just best for everybody? There's a case to be made for that. Would Bloom be inclined to bring in a Cardinals legend, Pujols or Molina, to energize the fan base, stimulate business, maybe make the owner happy because the business would be stimulated, and also install a stronger leader that brings a lot of gravitas to the situation, can create a new environment and help restore the Cardinals' lost aura, because they don't have an aura anymore, right? All right, so those are my five thoughts on what Marmol can do to keep his job beyond 2025. All right. On the other side, and I don't think I need to use as many words on this because we pretty much know all of this, but let's just recap. What are the factors that would lead to Ali Marmol getting fired during 2025 or after 2025? Here we go. One, if the Cardinals really stink in 2025 and they actually perform worse than anticipated, much worse than anticipated. Number two, the young players continue to wallow and their development remains stalled at the big league level. And at that point, you have to wonder, or you have to ask a hard question. If we got whole new leadership in place at the field level, would that make a difference? Would that get the players going because someone's coming in with a new philosophy, a new fresh mentality, maybe some new ideas that have not been put into effect here? So if the young players, and I'm talking mostly about Walker and Gorman, because with Nootbaar, and he's not that young, but Nootbaar, it's about staying healthy. Burleson, it's about hitting well for 6 months instead of 4.5 months. Herrera, it's about continuing to get better offensively. Continue to do what he's done offensively, but also continue to refine his skills behind the plate. He got better in 2024, but he still struggles to throw out runners. He's bad at it, but I think the whole team's bad at it. And that's another thing that bothers me about the dugout staff. I've seen no indication that they've ever tried to fix this, okay? And some of you would say, well, there's your fireable offense already. Well, it would be on the pile, that's for sure. So that's number two. Young players continue to wallow and their developmental stalls. And that's a huge, huge blow to the Cardinals going forward, especially if we're talking Walker and Gorman. Number three, the team just flat out plays uninspiring baseball, sloppy baseball. Along those lines, it would be a disaster for Marmol if the 2025 Cardinals have just on the field look like a mess. There's evidence of friction and turmoil in the clubhouse. It's not a happy team. I think that would go a long way in determining his fate, and his fate would not be positive from his perspective. Also, number four, the front office wants to, quote, play the kids, even though I don't know how many kids they have to play because what spaces will the kids fill? Alluded to that earlier. But let's play along with the front office. Let's play along. Well, we want to play the kids. We want an athletic, a younger, more entertaining team that's fun to watch. Okay. Well, suppose management's idea about playing the kids is to give Herrera the catching job, to give Victor Scott more of a chance to play. Suppose there's cross purposes here, hypothetically. Suppose Ali Marmol's got other ideas about who should play that may not entirely fit the play the kids agenda. You know what I'm saying? Ali Marmol's in a tough spot in this regard. Not that anybody cares out there, but he is, because he's going to want to try to win as many games as he possibly can. He knows he's managing for his job. No one's told him, oh, you're set through 2026. Don't worry about it. You'll fulfill that final year of your contract. So if he's trying to save his job by winning as much as possible, is he going to sacrifice some wins? Theoretically, there I go again. Is he going to sacrifice some wins to play who he wants to play because he thinks Pahe's behind the plate will make the pitchers happy? Because he's got more refined skills and he's better than Herrera at pitch selection? Not by as much as people assume. But if you don't think Ali Marmol would give the pitchers what they want, you know, when old Miles Michaelis in his 5.02 ERA starts to talk about how we need to throw to Pahe's. Ali Marmol wants to keep the pitchers happy and the Sonny Gray and all the veterans happy. And the same manager that willingly went on along with the whining little babies in 2023 when the pitchers would not take account or responsibility for their own sorry performances. So they tried to just, it's him, it's the catcher. And instead of handling it the way he should have, Marmol freaked out. Oh, well, the pitcher's mad at me, you know. And he didn't just throw him under the bus, man. He threw him under a tractor trailer. Talking about Contreras. So I think Marmol has learned from that. I think he feels bad about that in retrospect. But my point is, if the pitchers start whining for Pajes behind the plate, what's Ollie going to do? Going to give them what they want to make the babies happy? That's his track record. What does he do if Victor Scott is in my, let's say he's in Memphis and he's tearing it up and he's clearly ready for the major leagues? They bring him up. The front office calls him up. Ollie Marmol loves Michael Ciani. Once again, the pitchers love Michael Ciani because he is like a great, like the greatest Frisbee dog you've ever seen out in center field. And that's not a knock. I'm just saying, boy, he gets the stuff you never thought he'd have a chance at. And he's also a good base runner. And he did start to hit last year before he got hurt. So all of a sudden they bring up Victor Scott. Is Ollie Marmol going to cook up a harebrained scheme like he did last year where they bring up Walker and instead of playing him, it's like, well, we're going to use a platoon. And he's going to play against left-handed pitchers. The problem with that is that you see left-handed starting pitchers 28, 27, 30% of the time. So you ain't going to – last year they brought Walker up and Marmol wouldn't play him. And Mozeliak sent him back down just so he could play, which was the right thing to do. It was stupid to bring him up if the manager wasn't willing to play him every day. So then you have a situation with Victor Scott. Again, let's just say he goes down to Memphis, hypothetically, and he's tearing it up, and he looks great. By the way, you know, he's also got it in him to play great defense if he ever gets any damn instruction. And he can steal bases, we know that. And suppose the power's coming and he looks really good. Well, Mo decides to bring him up. But Marmol's not so sure whether he's going to give him the lion's share of the playing time. You see what I'm saying about this? Play the kids. It sounds good, but are they going to follow? Is the manager going to completely go along with it? So that's another thing that could cost him his job, because Chaim Bloom going to be taking some notes. He's going to be, you know, maybe his smartphone, he's going to be talking to Siri. Siri, take a note. He's going to be taking a lot of notes. Finally, number five. Well, this actually is a lot like number four. But if he is erratic, Marmol, about the distribution of playing time and doesn't give sufficient opportunities to the guys that need to play, as we just covered, because the Cardinals want to learn more about all these players, Marmol may not want to learn that much because he's trying to save his job by winning as much as he can. So that fits into what I just said. So the final reason, number five, for him losing his job, the Cardinals do not develop a new identity, as I suggested they have to, or a new personality, as I suggested they have to. And they don't develop new leadership, a new generation that takes over, changes the whole dynamic in the clubhouse. If they don't do that, in other words, if they're just a blob of boring mediocrity, how do you keep the manager in place? Because if nothing else, the Cardinals ought to have new life in terms of their energy and their joy and their enthusiasm for playing ball. If that's not evident, then bye-bye. All right, anyway, those are my thoughts. I would very much appreciate if you share your thoughts in the comment section because it's a good topic. And try to be objective about this, but I know a lot of you are going to say it, I don't care what he does. I want him out of here. Okay, at least you're being honest. I respect that, right? I've always said this. I'm going to say it again before you prepare to respond to some of these things. I have a lot of respect for people who say, you know, you probably make a good point, Bernie, about how he did a really good job at the bullpen last year, but it doesn't matter to me. I just don't like the guy, and they need to start fresh. You know what? Tip of the cap, Seattle Pilots, by the way, Ball 4 fame. Jim Mountain, Ball 4. Joe Schultz, the manager, native St. Louis. And anyway, no, if that's your view on this, I totally respect that. You know why? Because you're being honest. What drives me crazy are people that, that try to mask it. They try to cover it up behind baseball reasons. Like the people that always say, look, this guy plays too many lineups. I've never seen anything like this. He's got to go. Is this the part where I remind you that last year he used 116 lineups? The major league average of the other 29 teams was 131 lineups. So you don't have to fake it. You don't have to pretend it's baseball stuff. If you don't like Mamal, just say, I don't like Mamal, and I want him gone, and I want them to start fresh with a new manager. I got nothing but respect for that kind of opinion because it's real. It's not fake. It's not concealed over you're trying to show everyone how smart you are about talking about his managerial flaws, you know. And if you can identify them, chances are you're right about a lot of them. And again, much respect. But this will be a very interesting season. There's a lot at stake for the manager of the Cardinals, maybe part of the dugout staff or whatever. And you better impress Chaim Bloom because he's going to be making that decision whether to stay with Ali Marmol or not. And maybe someone ought to tell. Let me be the devil here again. I ought to get a devil's hat when I'm shifting during the video. To put the little devil's logo on here. Not New Jersey Devils either. Another reason why Marmol would lose his job, and I didn't specify this, and I am now. Chaim Bloom has got to know that his first decision as the Cardinals' boss of baseball is to bring Marmol back. Well, that vehement dislike of Ali Marmol is going to, some of that at least, maybe a lot of it, going to be transferred to Chaim Bloom. Oh, you're taking over and this is supposed to be different? This is supposed to be new leadership and you're keeping the same guy in place? You're keeping Mo's boy in place? This is what we have to look forward to? See, I saved the best reason for last as far as reasons it would lead to the dismissal of Ali Marmol. Is Chaim Bloom feel secure enough that if he makes a hugely unpopular decision, that the fans, like right away, even before he gets fully started, the fans won't turn on him? We got ourselves a soap opera here in St. Louis, right? This is like reality TV, except maybe boring reality TV. Anyway, I will, in fact, shut up now. Those are my thoughts. Please leave your comments. Have a wonderful weekend. I might be back Sunday with a Mizzou video. Not sure. But the response to the Mizzou videos have been very good. So I'll try to be consistent. You all take care. Have a great weekend until then.